All right, and who is doing the PowerPoint?
Prem.
Prem, okay. All right, Prem, can do you have access to share?
One second, I'm trying to do it.
Okay. There we go. Good.
So one second.
Okay. Slideshow, and we're set. Great. There we go. Good.
Yeah, I'm getting started. Yeah, can I start, Professor?
Go ahead.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'm starting.
Okay.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Our current topic for the presentation is credit card fraud transaction using machine learning and data mining. And we are from group three. And we have like four presenters as of now. First, I will start. And after that, I will pass over to Gagan. And Gagan will pass over to Samir. And Samir will pass over to Prem. And can you go to next slide? Yeah, the topic which we choose is like fraud detection. First of all, we will say like why we choose this topic. Why? Because like today, fraud is currently a problem in global scale. Currently, like too many fraud transactions are getting happening in our credit cards. Like we are seeing like so many fraud transactions. And these fraud transactions is generally used by the different criminals, like to trick people into different fraud activities. There will be currently in market, there are like different kinds of algorithms currently in market, which are used by different companies to predict the transactions which are fraud. Out of that, data mining is the one of the best one. It is a interdisciplinary field. It is the best solution as of now is in the market to predict the best outcome, like which is fraud and which is not fraud. And data mining is generally is the first filter for the detection of the fraud for different companies like Google, Amazon, Time Warner Cable, Disney, everyone currently, like whoever is using, they are using the data mining technique. Like how we will determine the fraud is the bending behaviors of the credit card. It means like, suppose if you see the transaction, someday it will be higher, sometimes it will be lower. Because sometimes if too many transaction comes on same time, there will be like different kinds of bending behaviors in the credit card. That was a specific criteria currently. It is used by every algorithm to analysis like what kind of fraud like and what is a fraud. Other than data mining, there are different techniques currently used in the market. Those are mentioned in the last line. They are like support machine algorithm, genetic algorithm, and there are other algorithms like decision tree and artificial neural network. Like these are the different types of algorithms currently using in market for different companies. And what kind of algorithm, what is algorithm mean? Generally, like specifically, we will train some specific models to do something and we will train the models and then we will predict the outcome, like how it will be. And can you go to next slide? And next slide, we're going to talk about the steps currently they are taking by the credit card companies. Currently, all the credit card companies like Bank of America or Citibank, they evaluate discrepancies through three things total. One is the first one is the purchasing location, where exactly the transaction happened. And second is the amount of transactions, like how much amount, like $100, $200, or how much amount, like big amounts it comes, right, depending on the amount of the transactions. And third one is the credit card purchase history, like it will track the history, like saying like how many transactions happened last month and why this month this many things happened, like that. Due to the rise of the credit card frauds, we need to have a solution to optimize the algorithms. And for the algorithms, right, we need to compare the analysis, like what type of fraudulent activities that are happened on credit cards, like what kind of activities like happened this month, or what kind of fraudulent activities happened last month. Depending on various techniques, we are providing the accurate method for each classification, like different types of algorithms, right? Out of that, we are providing the most accurate one that will help everyone to prevent the fraud in different types of transactions like credit card. And can you go to next slide? The main challenges right now for the biggest companies for detecting the fraud transaction are, the first one is, like, let me explain about the credit card fraud detection. Credit card fraud detection is generally, it is one of the most important domains of the fraud detection. And it generally records the fraudulent activities that are happened from a particular behavior. The most challenges right now in the current market is non-availability of data set. What does that mean is, like, one of the biggest issues with the credit card fraud transaction is unavailability of data. Why this? Because the biggest banks, like, they won't share the sensitive information due to the privacy reasons. That's why, like, generally we have the scenario like where we'll get non-availability of the data set. And second one is unbalanced data set. What does that mean is, like, the credit card fraud data sets, they are very, like, high skewed data, and the fraud transactions generally vary like 100 times once or 200 times once. They are not on one time or second, like they are not in a sequence, like it happens at a time in 200 transactions, so that people will never recognize like whether it is fraud or not. And third one is size of the data set. It is generally the millions of transactions happen process every day, right? Suppose for Bank of America, so many transactions are happening. We need to analyze the data and we need to get the size, like how many transactions happened and what type of scale it happened. And there will be some restriction for the researchers as well to compute the data. And fourth one is to determine the appropriate evaluation parameters. Currently, like in every algorithm, there are like four different type of measures, which Prem can explain, like they are true positive, true negative, false positive and false negative, like different types of rates will be there, where we can find the accuracy of specific algorithm. Like it means, accuracy means like which kind of algorithm will be the best among all the data sets. Accuracy right now, can be the main thing currently using by your algorithm, since the data set is very high balanced because of all these things, right? Accuracy is most of the times it is misclassified and we need better accuracy. And last one is dynamic behavior of the fraudster. What does it mean? Like the people who are making fraud have dynamic behavior. It means a behavior keeps on changing like on a daily basis or over the time. And they will modify like different styles. So getting the fraud transaction is more complex and it is very sophisticated, which is not predicted by the human experts as well. Can you go to next slide? Yeah, these are the different kinds of the data mining techniques currently used in the market. First of all, I will explain like what is data mining. Data mining is generally, it's a concept to extract the information for various kinds of huge data, like millions, trillions of data. And these techniques, like these five techniques currently, like they are used in the market, in the IT industry, IT field. to like these kind to detect the fraud transactions. First one is naive Bayes classifier. It is generally works on like principle called Bayes theorem. It is where we will classify data into different data sets, and each data set is independent of each other. And second one is random forest. It is like a decision tree where we have like true or false. If this condition satisfies and if this condition doesn't satisfy, it needs to go to next steps. Like that, based on decision tree, we will train a particular class to predict the best outcome. And third one is the k-nearest neighbor algorithm. It was proposed by Thomas, and we will train the models. And depending on the output, we will classify whether it is classification or regression. There will be like two kinds. What is classification means, like it is a process where we'll train the model to distinguish into different classes, like different kinds. Classification itself means it is classified into like multiple categories, I mean to say. And the other thing is regression. Regression is nothing but the process of finding the to distinguish the data, which is real and which is not real. And the next one is support mission missions, support vector missions. Like it is a supervised like learning model. I will explain in next slide what is supervised and what is non-supervised. It is a kind of supervised model where we will train the model to analyze the data for different kinds of analysis. And next one is bagging Ansible classifier based on decision tree. What does that mean is like there will be several decision trees where we will combine into like single decision. Take an example as a Uber, maybe example, if you keep as a destination to a particular location, there will be different kinds of routes, right? Like that there will be a tree where we'll get the best solution, right? The Waze app right now, it's in the market, right? Most people know Waze. Like what it will do is like it will train the, it will use some supervisor technique, and then we will, they will train some algorithms and they will find the best route so that we will reach in a less destination time compared to different apps. Can you go to next slide? And we had some literature review that we did for these slides. The first one is diverse machine learning. We will, this means like we will generally use to determine whether the specific transaction is fraud or non-fraud. But the main problem is with these techniques are generally, I mentioned before, it is due to the lack of the data set. We won't have proper data, as most of the banks won't give data to every member because the it seems like the data is very secure, right? And the other thing where we can see like the fraud transactions are very smaller compared to actual transactions. What does it mean? Like whoever does the fraud, right? They will do like transaction compared to like if you spend around $1,000 something, they will do transactions around $500 so that the people won't recognize whether it is fraud or not. Currently, like if you see, there are two types of techniques where we will train the models. The first one is supervisor technique and unsupervised learning, right? What is supervised learning means? Take an example as a computer where we will present, we'll give inputs and we are getting the expected response, right? It means the expected input and response, it means like expected input and the desired output, whatever the thing is, right? We'll train the model and we will know like what kind of output we are getting. And second one is unsupervised learning. In this technique, like there will be no labels will be created to search algorithms. Like it will discover patterns by itself. But for the supervising learning, you will train the model, right? But for this unsupervised learning, it will find route by itself. Like for the Waze app, currently they are using unsupervised learning where it will find the different routes and it will hide the different patterns, it means different routes, and towards the end, it will find the best solution. other than these two techniques, there was other technique called reinforcement learning. We will design a computer program to a specific dynamic environment where we will set a specific goal. Right now, the Uber has driving cars like Tesla, everything, right? Tesla or maybe PUBG, like those kinds of apps are there, right? In that way, we will train a computer program with the third type of technique called reinforced learning technique, where we will set a specific goal, such as like playing game against our opponent and giving feedback. And we and the next thing is like in future, right, the different types of approaches like operation, geographic, and as well as time-based data, like these are the best futures to analyze the fraud and credit card transactions. Along with this, like the real-time example where like Bank of America are currently implementing is like there will be, instead of going to the bank itself, there will be an online portal where people can talk to a customer representative directly, like how we talk to FaceTime, right? Like that they're implementing using these kind of algorithms to implement the best solution and to determine the best solution for the customer as well. And now I will be transitioning to Gagan. Now I told about various challenges that are faced by the credit card detection, right? Gagan will explain about the existing data mining techniques, and he will pick some data and like data from that was did by some European analysis to detect the fraud transactions. I am passing over to Gagan.
Great. Good morning, everyone. So, can you just move on to the next slide, Brian? Okay. Now we'll be discussing about the dataset analysis, coming to the dataset analysis, that is the datasets contain the transactions like which are made by the credit cards in September 2013 by some European cardholders. So this dataset presents transactions that occurred in like couple of days where we have like 492 frauds out of 300K nearly transactions. The dataset is highly unbalanced and the positive class or frauds account for like 0.2% of all transactions nearly. And it also contains numeric input variables, which are the results of the PCA transformation. And can you go on to the next slide? due to some confidentiality issues, they are not provided with the original features and more background information about the data. But there are some features like V1, V2, and V3, so on up to like there are some V28. Where the principal components obtained with the PCA. The only feature which have not been transformed with PCA are time and amount. So feature time contains the seconds elapsed between each transaction and the first transaction in the dataset. The feature amount is the transaction amount. So this is about the dataset analysis. If you can go into the next slide. Now we'll be seeing something about the step-by-step analysis using the data mining. So when we after performing some analysis, if any data is missed or having invalid type conversation or having any null values, it has to be cleaned. And the data cleansing is also important because it improves your data quality and in doing so increases overall productivity. When you clean your data, all outdated or incorrect information is gone, leaving you with the highest quality information. And a data set is imbalanced if the classification categories are not approximately equally represented. Recent years, we have brought some increased interest in applying machine learning techniques to difficult real-world problems, like where many of which are characterized by imbalanced data. Like when we see the distribution of testing data may differ from the top the training data. And so the true classification cost may be unknown at learning time. So the predictive accuracy, which is a popular choice for evaluating the performance of a classifier, might not be appropriate, but the data is imbalanced and or the like the cost of the different errors were like vary. So this is some something about the data mining, the analysis for this. And if we go into the next slide, we talk here about the data exploration, where the data exploration is the initial step in data analysis, where users explore a large data set in an unstructured way to uncover initial patterns, characteristics, and like point of interest. So this process isn't meant to reveal every bit of information a data set holds, but rather it helps to create a broad picture of important trends and major points to study in greater detail. So coming to data exploration, it can use a combination of manual methods and automated tools such as data visualizations, charts, and initial reports. So coming to the fraudulent transactions, which are more uniformly distributed than legal transactions, they are like distributed equally in time, despite the low actual transaction times. So during the night, in the time zone of Europe, we can find this more of the frauds happening. And so still now we discussed about the data set and data mining and data exploration. Next, my teammate Samir will be going through the machine learning and data mining, which is not just analyzing of data set. So he will be also giving you some interesting facts about the data mining in predictive analysis. Like, let's look at the random forest classifier predictive model, like which is in the supply and where we have to apply in this data set. So I will transfer it to Samir.
I'm explaining here what is a predictive models and which predictive models is based nowadays. So predictive model is a process of using known results to create, process, and validate a model that can be used for forecast future outcomes. So it's tool basically which predicts the analytics. So nowadays random forest is a supervised learning algorithm and it is used wisely. It can be used both for classification and regression. It is also a most flexible and easy use algorithm. Forest is like comprised of tree. It said that the more trees it has, the more robust the forest is. So the random forest creates the decision trees on the randomly selected data samples, gets prediction from each tree and select the best solution by means of voting. So it also provides a pretty good indicator of the feature importance. So I will explain how they like select the features in the next slide. But the random forest has a variety of applications such as a recommendation engine, image classification, and the feature selection. And it can be used like in many programs such as like loyal loan applicants, identity, fraudulent activity, and the predict disease as well. At the back end, they uses the Borut algorithm which select the important features. Prep, can you go to the next slide? So, one more. Okay. So there are steps for predictive modeling. So first, they define the predictive features and the target features. Then the second step, they are categorical features, if any, are also defined. And then they split the data in train, test, and validate the sets, run a model using the training set of training, and then they use the validation set for the validation. Train the random forest classification using the train DF data and feed the function. So predict the target values for the valid DF data and using the predict function. So these are the steps they are follow to get the conclusion, or you can say to predict the data. So if you can see in this diagram, they define the feature and the feature importance. So here you can see they have the like almost 23 features starting from V0 to V23. But here V17, V12, V14, V16, V11, V10, and V18 are the like more important features. So let me try to explain in other words. So let's assume we have to predict a person's salary. so that to predict a person's salary, they are gathering the data like such as height, weight, and the age of person. So as we know, height and weight is not more relevant to the to guessing the person's salary, right? So, and age is little appropriate. So they just simply discard or give some minimum point to the height and weight, and they are just give more importance to the age of the person. So that's how they are defining these features. And next slide, Prem. Okay, so confusion matrix. So as Satish mentioned, there are lots of technique. They predict the data, but like, they have almost like right now most popular 5 to 6 algorithms, but after reading the data, we have to analyze which is the best technique right now. So to define that, we are using the confusion matrix. So confusion matrix is a technique used to sum up the classification algorithm results. Precise classification alone can be detective if you have a disappointment number of the finding in each class, or if you have more than 2 classes in the data set. The number of predictions that are right and incorrect was summarized with the count values and broken down by the class. This is a secret of the confusion matrix. So, Prem, can you go to the next slide? Yeah. So here you can see they have the like 4 column and 4 row. So you see on the upper side, it's predictive negative and predictive positive. At the right side, it's actual negative and actual positive. So basically, it's true negative, false negative, and true positive. So this is again defined by the logistic regression technique. So logistic regression is a classification algorithm, and it is used to define the target value. And it's mostly worked on the binary results. It's either 0 or 1. So to simplify this, let's say if it's true positive, then they correctly classify the fraud. And in the real life also, there is a fraud. And in the false positive, they incorrectly classified the fraud, and the fraud is really happened. So this is the 2 different things. And the true negative, they correctly classify non-fraud, and but there is a no fraud. And in the false negative, they define incorrectly classified non-fraud transaction, but there is a fraud. So this is how they define. To simplify, let me take one more example. Let's say we have the patient and we are predict that patient have the disease or not. So let's say true positive means they define patient has a disease, but in the actual patient have the disease. So that goes under true positive. And in the false positive, our algorithm predict the patient have the disease, but in the actual patient doesn't have the disease. So this is the second, and in the third is the true negative. So in that third, let's say our algorithm defined patient have no disease, and in the actual also the patient has a no disease. In the false negative, algorithm defines like patient doesn't have the disease, and in the actual patient has the disease. So this is in the algorithm world, they call as a, this is type 2 error, because they define there is a no disease, but patient have the really disease. So in that case, like they stop the medicine and everything, and this is like trouble for the patient. So yeah, so this false negative is like, it's called as a type 2 error. And there are 2 more. It's can you go to the next slide, Prem? Yeah, so this is the what I explained. And there is 2 more important thing is precision and the recall. So precision is like the how selective is our model. So let's take an example. Let's say our model is 95% precise. So that means they can only able to find the 5% of the prediction, or in the, you can say the false prediction. And let's say if there is a 10 wrong prediction, then our precision rate is 90%. So our precision rate is low, that means our model is really good. So this is how they count the precision. And recall, so recall is let's say recall, okay, yeah Yeah, so recall is basically the calculation. It is the true positive divided by the true positive, and it's equal to false. So let's say if our model is not 100% precise, then we have to recall all the data and we have to process it on again. So this is what the recall. And the next is again the classification techniques mode, which will explain the Prem.
Okay. So I'm going to explain the logistic regression classification algorithm. If you see this, okay, I'm going to explain about this true positive, false positive. So if using this logistic algorithm, so if we can predict like the expected output should be the what we predicted, and the outcome should be the same. If we get it, we can say like it's like a true positive thing. And if like for the false positive, like if suppose like if we the output value should be the true, and if suppose like if the input value is like false and output value is like true, we can say like false positive. And the true negative means like what we expected and the what the outcome should be the same, we can say like true negative. False negative should be the whatever the outcome should be the positive, but what we expected as input, we can say like non-product transactions. The precision and recall already explained by the like Samir. What is precision? Is like precision is a model for the technique to detect the fraud transactions, and the recall is like what like for to whatever the like our precision should be like high, or like if the descent or the recalls we can score in this recall true positives. And we have a like graph for the logistic algorithm. So for the logistic algorithm, if you say like if you see in this map, like the curve shows the x-axis and the y-axis, the mainly the x-axis, which definitely shows the false positive fraction of like FP and plus TN is the like a calculation formula. And if you see the y-axis thing, it's like a true positive fraction, and the formula is like true positive plus false negative. And this curve like mainly used for to determine the cutoff value of predicting the observation of the output binary output value of 0 or 1, because like our algorithm output should be like either 0 or 1 what we predicted from this model. And coming to the SMOT is like a technique which used for the fraud transaction. Like right now the class like regression algorithm is using this technique SMOT. With this SMOT technique, we can use it to classify the data, classification of the data, and also it is used to train. It is this SMOT technique is used to solve the imbalanced data of the transaction whatever happened for the customers, and with this data we can transaction the and we can train the data. And this technique is mainly used to differentiate the fraud transactions from the originated transactions done by the cardholders. And initially we can see this transaction data is stored in the like a convolution form coming, and also we have like operations to predict this following accept should be the like solving the imbalanced data and synthetic points and analyzing the final effect, and also in the accuracy of the prediction of this data. And coming to the imbalanced data, so when this using this SMOT technique, like the data, if it is like imbalanced, it will identify the imbalanced data from the, and it will can show to the, like if you see like the imbalanced data is like I can take an example of the credit card transactions, like if suppose of the customers, like when they do the transactions, and they can say simply they have seen the like the data transactions are showing differently. With this help of this SMOT technique, we can find this imbalance data, and we can differentiate the original transaction and the fraud transaction of the customer, and also it location of the transactions happens for that particular card holder, and it can show of the like it will show the accurate of these transactions which are like frauded from this like card holder. And with this SMOT technique, we can find like the fraud transactions mainly which happens on the online or in the credit cards and in the gas stations, wherever the cardholders use their credit cards. And coming to the conclusion, like, you know, like nowadays in the current world, like we have many fraud techniques have been deployed to in order to find the fraud transaction. And for, like companies have also employed like most of the people for to detect this fraud transaction techniques to secure their cardholders and to keep the business high. And they have like a lot of new techniques have been also been came through in the market, but still we have like a lot of fraud transactions are still going on in the current world. But like to be like as a part of this project, what we analyze like our fraud, like specified time period to understand the patterns of this fraud activity and to identify these patterns, and with the various fraud related like techniques what we have used. So finally I can say like we have like different categories to find out this fraud transactions to help the business of the companies like financial institutes or banks and online things. So that's it.
Hi, Prem, can you stop sharing your screen? Sure. Manadeep is giving applause for you. How lovely of you. All right. Okay, so, well, welcome, Samir. Nice to have you here. All right, what I'd like to do is have the individuals who were just watching this give feedback to those who spoke. So if you don't mind raising your hand so you're not stepping on each other, and then unmute yourself and let's just give some compliments and comments to those who just spoke. Who'd like to start? Nobody. Great. All right. Yes, please.
Yeah. Zubair? So it's really good to see about, especially with the data theft and the way that you guys went through with the data mining and all, because this is like really a core concept for an organization to work and to get succeed. I really big applause for you guys, and you guys did a really good job.
Thank you. Who else?
It's like, you know, I would like to appreciate this, the team, like, you know, the way they really organize the things, and, you know, it's really the, as the name says, they really mind it well, really mind it well. And, you know, they covered everything, and yeah, it was very clear and deep too.
Good. Nikhil?
Yep, I think the way Satish started was very good, and the points he mentioned, it was very detailed. Basically, overall presentation was very detailed oriented. They had much to say about it. They have many points and figures there. So it was really nice to hear this detailed one.
Good, thank you. Good. All right, so let me go through this with each of you. Shaba, how long did Satish speak? 3 hours?
Satish, 15 minutes, 41 seconds.
Okay. Yes, Satish. Oh, my word. Okay. All right. Let me go through everybody very quickly. Satish, you need to pick up your speed. You just got slower and slower and slower, whereas the others got faster and faster and faster. So if you would speed up, that would help, okay? That would make it much shorter then. And you covered so much material, you need to shorten it. Don't try to cover everything. One of the things I really liked about this group is your detail regarding data mining and what's going on in the banking system. That was excellent. Your content was spot on. It was so well done. Now, Satish, what went well for you today?
Oh, for me?
Yes.
For me, I think I never spoke 15 minutes in my life. This is the first time, I guess.
That went well. Okay, what do you think you need to work on?
As per your suggestions, right? Maybe that time, I need to stay within the time.
And part of it too might be the longer you talk, the more your energy lowered, and then you got slower and slower. So, you know, when you're going that long, you just have to keep that energy up. Good. Gagan, what went well for you today?
I think I haven't taken much time, just was on the time, whatever I was expecting coming to my part. So I was spot on.
Okay, good. What do you think you need to work on?
I don't know. Can you just let me know so that I
Okay, on the time. Shabah, what was his length of time?
5 minutes and 8 seconds.
Woo woo! That was spot on, Gagan. You nailed that. Nicely done. Nice pitch variety. I mean, that made it interesting and we could hang in there. I really liked your charts. Those were very well done. One of the things I want you to work on and a couple others is when you start talking, everything sounds equally important. So your main points sound important, but so do your explanations and so does your next main point. So we need to know what's the most important thing and then the other supports it. And then what's important and then what supports that. I think that would help you as you're presenting. Samir, what went well for you?
Not sure, but I guess I have a little bit knowledge about these techniques.
Oh, you had a lot of knowledge about this. And that came across that you knew what you were talking about. Great supporting material. And when you gave your comparison to the patient with the disease or without the disease, true, positive, false, that was an excellent, excellent comparison. What do you think you need to work on?
I guess speed.
Yes. Yeah. You were as fast as Satish was slow. What does that tell you? Satish goes, oh, she's going to pick on me all day. I can tell. Okay. Just slow down some. All right. You're not in a race. So just slow down. Now I've got to say for the whole group, I liked your slide design, especially when it dealing with computer credit card fraud. That was a clever design to choose. Well done. Prem, nicely done with the slides. Thank you for taking that on. Because that's a lot of extra work.
So coming to my part, I didn't went through my teammates have been discussed, went through the slides. I didn't want to go over again, say the same point. So whatever the slides have been assigned to, I just want to concentrate on them and I need to explain. Because I don't want to repeat the things what way they have explained.
Right. And so, you did that. That was good. No, your content was solid. What do you think you need to work on?
I think to be honest, I need to give proper examples, but whatever I know, examples have been given, but still we have many examples have been there.
Yes, your own unique ones, yes. Which is why it's so important when you're doing a team presentation that you hear each other so you know you don't repeat what they said.
Yes.
That's really important. I would say, Prem, when you're speaking, you look up, you look down, you look over there. You don't look at the screen and you don't look at the camera.
Oh, okay.
You're probably doing that while you're running everybody else's slides, but make sure you're looking at the camera for us.
Actually, someone was kidding, so I just let them know, close the door.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing. All right. Now, for each of you, I think what you found was having one person run the slides, that works well. But that person needs to know when to move the slide forward without you telling them to move it. And that's not your fault, Prem. So what I would suggest in a team presentation is always have either a key phrase ready so they know that's when they go forward. Or after you finish talking about the last line, what was it, Shabah? What did your group do? You did something unique.
We actually had a very weird thing, but we just... You know, there was a action or some kind of a, you know, just normal, very normal, subtle kind of coughing.
Yeah, just clearing throat water.
That was our trick. Yeah. And most importantly, what we did, Dr. BBH, was we never even had to do that because we connected each slide to a, now we would know more about collaborative skills and Samir is the person who would discuss more about that.
Right.
So then Samir knew that he had to take over.
That it was time. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's That's what it takes to keep it smooth. So when you leave this class, now use those tricks as you go into presenting at your work. Dilip's going, oh man, we've got to do that before we present in a few minutes. Okay. That does make it smoother and it sounds as if you are well prepared as a team. All right, good. Well done. All right. We're going to take a break. It's 10:54. We're going to come back at 11:05 and group four will present. Okay, so let's take a 10-minute break. I'll see you at 11:05.